Thank you, choir. You are all truly blessed. I get to preach in a lot of different churches, and not everybody is quite so blessed as you are. So make sure you show them some gratitude after worship today. In his book, Meal with Jesus, Tim Chester says, "The world is more delicious than it needs to be. We have a superabundance of divine goodness and generosity. God went over the top. We don't need the variety we enjoy, but he gave it to us out of sheer exuberant joy and grace. God's creative joy wasn't only for the beginning of creation, leaving us just eating the leftovers. God continues to sustain creation out of joy." I love that little phrase, and ever since I read it back last summer, it's just stuck with me. The world is more delicious than it needs to be. Now, in his book, Chester is talking about food, but our world really is more delicious than it has to be. The season that we're in now, it depends on what day or what part of the day, spring, sometimes it feels more like summer, sometimes like winter. But here it is, spring. It makes the world more delicious than it needs to be. We're surrounded by trees that are suddenly growing leaves again, and some, before they grow leaves, grow these beautiful budding flowers and a variety of colors. These flowers have a scientific purpose. They attract insects to help with pollination, but their design also allows pollen to be carried away by wind when there aren't any insects. And in order for these blossoms to burst forth, the tree itself has to undergo certain cold temperatures followed by warm temperatures. Scientists who study this say that they found the reason for the sequence, so the reason that the flowers come first and then the leaves come, was a large difference in heat requirements. Flowers had much lower heat requirements, compared with the leaf buds that had much higher heat requirements. But the chilling requirements, how cold it had to get before all the process started again, were about the same. So all of that going on biologically means that in spring, we are reminded that the world is more delicious than it needs to be. The other bright transformational season, fall, doesn't need to be so beautiful, so delicious. A website called earthsky.org says that shedding leaves help trees to conserve water and energy in the winter months. As unfavorable weather approaches, hormones in the trees trigger the process called abscission. And in this process, they actively cut off of the tree the leaves by these specialized cells. And at the start of that process, when it starts to cut off the leaves, the trees reabsorb the valuable nutrients that are in the leaves. Chlorophyll, the pigment that gives leaves their green color, is one of the first nutrients that gets reabsorbed. This is one of the reasons that trees turn red and orange and gold colors during the fall. At the end of the abscission process, when the leaves have to be shed, the trees actually grow a healing layer over the edge of the branches where the leaves once were to protect them. You may have picked up that I was a former science teacher in a former life. I love this kind of stuff because in learning how the world works, you just see the hand of God creating a joyful, beautiful world for us. After a strong storm, when the sun shines just right, the sky fills with a rainbow, this incredible archway that colors the sky. A rainbow is caused when the sun shines on water droplets in the sky, and reflection, refraction, and dispersion of a light happen. How in the world do we live in a world where water can create color in the sky? How crazy is this, that this is the natural way that light waves work? Even when light hits glass or just the right kind of plastic, a prism is created. It takes all of the waves that make up light as we see it, and it creates bands of color that dazzle inside your car or your home or wherever. The world is more delicious than it needs to be. When temperatures are low enough and there's moisture in the atmosphere, tiny ice crystals are formed, which is miraculous enough. But then these tiny ice crystals collide. They start bumping into one another. And they stick together in clouds to become snowflakes. If enough ice crystals stick together, they'll become heavy enough to fall to the ground. And the crazy thing is that each of these bumping together, each of these collisions, creates a snowflake that is completely unique. Each snowflake that blankets the ground is different. The thousands upon thousands, millions of millions of snowflakes that blanket the earth in a really good snowfall are each different and unique. The world is more delicious than it needs to be. One day, probably about 10 years ago, when my niece was just a toddler, I went into her room to get her from nap time. She's 13 now. This is the niece, that's Carolina. I can still remember the light coming in through her window and through the curtains. It was creating this kind of golden auburn glow in her room. I remember her sweet little innocent expression as she was waking up. And as she reached up her arms for me to take her from her bed, I get choked up talking about it. Even in the moment, I teared up because I was just overwhelmed with the beauty of the moment. This was one of those moments that remind us just how delicious the world is. We know that the world is more delicious than it needs to be when we play with the puppy, when we feel the beat and the rhythm of our favorite music pushing through us, causing us to move, bringing on a tear, or when we eat some amazing dessert that makes our whole body relax when we take it in, when we have the high of really good exercise and pushing our bodies to our physical limits. Think about the taste of fresh watermelon or strawberries right off the vine, a good ripe tomato. What about an ice cream sundae? I mean, hot fudge. Need I say more? And we live in a world that at any moment you can look up on your computer and find pictures of babies laughing or cats doing weird things. Just yesterday, I found myself looking at a video of two little babies, babies I do not know, that kept looking at one another and laughing. And as one laughed, it caused the other one to laugh. And so their baby giggles were just spurring each other on. And I just laughed watching them. These babies, I will remind you, I do not know, but I am captivated by them. You can look at pictures of huge cats that are trying to squish themselves in things that are too small for their big bodies, little boxes where their bodies just kind of mushroom out, or Tupperware containers or flower vases. I've never had a cat. I don't know why cats do these things, but I enjoy looking at their pictures online. The world is more delicious than it needs to be. Even in the toxic world that it can feel really easily, like we live in today. Thank you is an essential everyday part of family dinners, trips to the store, business deals, political negotiations. Saying thank you is one of the first things that we teach a child when they receive a gift. We teach them how to say thank you when they're interacting with other people. Recently, scientists have begun to chart a course of research that's aimed at understanding how gratitude and circumstances in which people flourish or when they are diminished by gratitude. They're finding that people who practice gratitude consistently report a host of benefits. They have stronger immune systems. They're less bothered by aches and pains. They have lower blood pressure. They exercise more and take better care of their health. They sleep longer and wake feeling more refreshed. They have higher levels of positive emotions. They're more alert, alive, and awake. They have more joy and pleasure, more optimism and happiness. They feel less lonely and isolated. Gratitude begins with recognizing that there are good gifts that we're given in this world. It is recognizing that the world is truly more delicious than it needs to be. And true gratitude is realizing that we did nothing to make these good things happen. There's something beyond us, bigger than us. We recognize the sources of this goodness as being outside of ourselves. It didn't stem necessarily from anything we did, in which we can take pride. We acknowledge that all good things come from God. Often we think about gifts and giving and gratitude as a kind of transaction, believing that we've done nothing for the good that we receive is really hard. It's easier to believe that we got our good things because we worked for them. I gave you something, so you give me something back. We did certain things for God, and so God blessed us. This also allows us to be a little stingy with our good gifts. We don't have to give away money or gifts or time. We can be me first because we deserve the things that we have. It also means that we believe we can insulate ourselves from the bad things that happen. But these ideas do not equate a God that is good and gracious to us. This also doesn't serve us well when the unthinkable happens. There's an old classic movie called Pollyanna, in which an actress, Haley Mills, plays the lead character, Pollyanna. She grew up, Pollyanna grew up as an orphan girl. She had been a missionary's kid, and her parents are killed, and she comes to live with this cold aunt. It's a lovely little classic movie. It sounds a little depressing at this point, but it does get happy. But Pollyanna had this habit in her family unit when they were serving as missionaries of playing something they would call the glad game. And in this game, they would take something negative that happened and counter it with something to be glad about. She tells of a story where one year they were sent crutches for Christmas gifts, and all she really wanted was a real doll. She'd never had a doll before. And her father encouraged her to play the glad game, and they decided that they could be glad that they didn't need the crutches. While it's a nice concept, I think sometimes we've been so eager as people of faith to play the glad game, we miss out on the painful parts of the world. We don't grieve when we really need to grieve. We don't get angry when we need to get angry. We don't fight when we need to fight. Kate Bowler tells the story of being unexpectedly diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer at the age of 35. A divinity school professor, she writes of her experience in her book, Everything Happens for a Reason and Other Lies I've Loved. I would highly recommend the book. She tells of how others, people all around the country, contacted her after she released an article that was published in the New York Times telling of her story. People trying to find a reason for why this was happening for her kept contacting her, people from inside and outside the church. And she says, we have replaced true grace with a version of the American dream. That says, follow these rules and God will reward you, heal you, and restore you. My world is conspiring to make me believe that I am special, that I am the exception whose character will save me from the grisly predictions and the CT scans. I am blessed. Blessed. One of our favorite and most problematic words in our culture today. True gratitude isn't based on a transaction kind of economy. It looks at the world around us, recognizes the crazy deliciousness that surrounds us, that exists in both the pain and the beauty. All of these remind us of our humanity. All of these things can be reminders of what really matters. Diana Butler Bass has actually just released a book called Grateful, The Transformative Power of Giving Thanks. She says that she found a study that said 78% of Americans said that they felt a strong sense of gratitude or thankfulness at least once a week. A week after this particular study had been done, another one was released by the Public Religion Research Institute. Now that's a mouthful. That showed a very different attitude about America. That study discovered that Americans were more anxious, less optimistic, and more distrustful than ever. And this was as we were entering the year of our last presidential election. Bass says, subsequent political events made evident a surge of rage, revealing a toxic level of anger, fear, division, and intolerance. A quick glance at the news demonstrates that we are failing at communal Thanksgiving. We are anxious and angry because we are haunted by nightmares of scarcity, dystopian fears that someone else is taking everything, that there is never enough, and we will never get what we deserve. And I feel the pit of tension, the tightness that forms in my chest when I begin to worry about money, my future, when I even just turn the news on. So how do those two things coexist? How does one study say that 8 out of 10 people experience extreme gratefulness at least once a week than we have ever been in our American history? Bass argues that to really practice gratitude, we have to address both the me and the we of gratefulness. We can't just feel gratefulness for gifts directed toward us, but we have to find healthy ways to express that gratefulness to those who gave to us. I would say that we have to have eyes to see the good things that are given to us by God, by other people, by our community, by our family history. And we have to be thankful for that and live as though we are thankful rather than entitled. That directly leads us to also being aware of the we of gratitude. Bass says we are safer and happier when we care for each other in community, when we do things for each other. If we recognize mutuality, we experience gratitude as central to civic life. When we work together, when we share, and when we care, there is enough for all. We appreciate each other for what we all contribute to flourishing communities, and we appreciate the good gifts of life. How we live together in and with gratitude makes all the difference in the world. It is not a real life that's lived trying to grab everything, hold on to it as tightly as possible, pushing others out of the way, getting smaller and smaller all of the time, more and more tents to protect what we have, more and more tents to do just the right things, to keep from failing, from feeling fear, to get what we deserve. It's too easy when we're like this, all tight, that we allow the fear to take over. The fear of everyone else, the fear of getting all we can. And that life doesn't sound much like Jesus to me. We believe in a God that created the world to be more delicious than we deserve. From the bright colors of seasons and the love of others that we can feel down to our toes, to the taste of great food, we follow a Jesus that says, the first shall be last. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Jesus said in Luke 17:33, those who try to make their life secure will lose it, but those who lose their life will keep it. We are to live a life faithful with the opportunities we're given while working to create other opportunities for other people. We are not to live in a spirit of fear. Jesus says in John 13:34 through 35, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You are also to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. I think this is part of why the world is so delicious. It is a constant reminder of a loving God that challenges us to love others as a response. When we begin to live in the place of gratitude, when we have eyes to see the deliciousness of the world, we develop a heart that's really able to experience all that God gives. When we lay down our fear and instead pick up love for our world at large, we find ourselves singing the words of the song, they will know we are Christians by our love. And we will be able to say with arms and hands open wide, face drawn to heaven, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is good. It is he that made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Will you pray with me? God, with every blooming flower, with every rainbow, with every thunderstorm, with every raindrop that hydrates our world, the smile of a child, the good meal, Lord, let us be reminded that you have created a world that constantly reminds us how much you love us. And let our gratitude be so overwhelming, so overflowing, knowing that you have given that out of the goodness of who you are, that we are spurred on to love others, to take those things that we are given and to make this world a different, a better, a more fair place to be. Lord, let our lives be directed by gratitude and not by fear. Lord, thank you for loving us right where we are. We don't have to do anything to earn that love. Help us to rest in that peace. It's in your name we pray. Amen. This morning, our hymn of response is hymn number 638. Now thank we all our God. May this be a prayer and a response of your heart. Will you stand?